Welcome to Take a Wander with Shebs, a travel podcast to highlight topics and talk in depth about how travel can have meaning in your life through the experiences you gain from exploring the world. How is this podcast different to other travel podcasts? The show's discussion points will talk about more than just destinations people can travel to, their favorite place or food, or how to travel hack. I'll dig deep into why and what that individual may have learned from a destination or what impact an event or occasion has had on their life during their travels. No topics are off limits. The podcast will aim to create suspense for listeners and leave you inspired to travel, learn, and be a better person overall. On this edition of the podcast, I'm going to be discussing Northern Portugal with Katia Barbosa, who's a representative from the Tourism Board. There was a previous episode where we discussed Porto and why you should visit there, but this segment is going to be about Northern Portugal itself. Before we go into the discussion, here's how you can support the channel. You can support the channel by heading over to www.shebsthewanderer.com. You'll be able to see the store tab, which you can hover over to and click. You can then buy various items from t-shirts, jumpers, hoodies, even water bottles and phone cases. If you have any questions, you can send me a message through the contact tab. Now that's out of the way, let's take a look into why you should visit Northern Portugal. We now welcome a representative from Visit Porto and Northern Portugal, and she's going to be discussing with us why people should book their trips to Porto and Northern Portugal. And we've got Katia Barbosa. Welcome, Katia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you on board today. I just want to let the audience know who you are and why you actually work for the organization and why what it means to you as well.
Porto, north of Portugal, is the best region in the world. So, it's a pleasure to be able to promote it internationally. And that's it. I think it's really the best region in the world. So,
well, some of the discussion points that we're going to have are some specifics on why people should visit, and whether it's for families, whether it's for couples, whether it's if you can travel there solo, whether it's you're going there as a group of friends. So, now when people travel into Porto, going to the outskirts is the next thing on the list. So if I'm thinking about it myself, I'd say, right, okay, you fly into Porto and then you can move around. So where would you say, if once they've come to Porto, you would go to the next destination in Northern Portugal that you must go to as a necessity?
Of course, it depends on your interest. That's for sure. If you are, for instance, looking for some adventure, we have the only national park in the country, which is Gerês. It's about 2 hours driving from Porto, but you can easily do, for instance, go from Porto to Braga, which is a beautiful city, a World Heritage site as well, about 45 minutes from Porto. And then from there, you can go to the national park. And then you can do all. You can do horse riding, hiking, there are waterfalls, you can do canoeing, so all kind of activities. If you prefer surf, we have the oceans. You can go to Viana do Castelo, Esposende, and Espinho, which are cities on the coast. Of course, you have the wine. And though everyone knows the port wine and the Douro Valley, we have 4 different wine regions. One being, of course, the Douro and port wine, but there's also another region, Vinho Verde, the green wine regions. For instance, if you want to join the harvest or be a winemaker for a day, you can be, because there are vineyards that allow people to go there and to work, to put the hands on. And for instance, there's a really, really special place. It's not that known. The name is Vale do Coa. So it's the Coa Valley. It's about 2 hours driving from Porto. I would say it's the perfect place to go if you go, for instance, from Porto to the Douro Valley, stay there for 1 or 2 nights, and then you go to the Coa Valley, which is about 1 hour from the Douro Valley. And that's a really special place because it's the biggest open-air collection of Paleolithic rock art. So it's a huge place. Actually, the story, it's really interesting because they discovered about 20 years ago that this is a World Heritage Site as well. They started building a dam and they discovered those that rock art site. And that's really special because you can go really into the valley. You can see the rock art site and the paintings on the rocks, and you can do it during the night. So when the stars are on the sky, very clearly, and you can go with an archaeologist and see the rock art site. That's a one of a kind experience. So it really depends on what you are your interests, of course.
Sounds all mesmerizing. And the one of the questions I would ask you is, would you recommend people on day trips, or would you recommend people, if it's only a couple of hours away from Porto, sometimes you can do tours from the city if they've come into the city of Porto. Would you recommend people to do day tours, or would you recommend people to go out and stay in these places if it's only a couple of hours away?
Yeah, being such a small region, it's quite possible to go from Porto to all of these places in one day on a tour. But I would suggest people to go there and stay there, because for instance, in the Douro Valley, if you go on a one-day tour, you can see essential, that's for sure. But if you stay there, you can have the chance of sleeping on a vineyard, for instance. You can wake up and see that magnificent view and that valley. It's really
especially,
something,
especially during the summer as well.
No, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, the sunset, it's great. But waking up, the sunrise is always also a beautiful place to be in the valley. So, and even in the national park I was mentioning before, you can go there, and if you like, you can camp, because there's a campsite there with the bungalows and all, and you can really enjoy those places, because again, it's possible to go there and come back the same day, but you won't, for instance, you won't have the local cuisine, because you won't have dinner on those special places, those small places where the owner is the one that cooks. So I would say if possible to stay there for the night.
Depending on the time that you're there for, because as we were talking about before, if people come in on short city breaks, if you want to quickly visit, then yes, maybe you could do day tours. But however, if you're on holiday for a week, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks, why not, as you just said there, travel to these places, stay there, enjoy and relax, and get to see all the amenities that the northern part of, as you were talking about, the wineries, you can camp as well, as you just said, that you've got all these different areas that you can look into, and it will help. And again, the time of the year again will be between those summer times, which is your peak times, but the demographics again, I'm assuming that we're talking about the same types of people, solo, family, and depending on time of the year, those are the type of people that travel to those areas. Would that be correct?
Yes. But though we can say we have a peak season, but we have tourism. Fortunately, we have tourism all year round. I would say that, for instance, November might be we have less individuals, but we have more events. We have the International Marathon, for instance. We have people from all over the world coming to this event, and they stay here for some days. Even in December, in the beginning of December, in Spain, there are two holidays during two consecutive weeks. So we have many people coming from Spain because they are not working. So they come from Spain, and we have many people during that week in December. Usually in March or April, it depends on when's Easter, have many people coming during the Easter period. So we have tourism all year round. And that's one of our goals, to have people here all year round, not only on a specific time of the year.
The weather in the northern part of Portugal, what's it like during the summer? And I suppose all year round it's quite warm.
No, we have 250 sunny days per year. As you go inland to the Douro Valley or to the Coa Valley, it gets warmer and colder. But we don't have negative temperatures, or usually as you go inland, it can be more than 30 degrees, but usually it's not that hot, not that cold, so it's fine.
One of the most important things people like to know about is how much money do they have to bring to either Porto or the northern part of Portugal? So what would an average, let's just say, for example, a solo or a group of people will have to spend, and then let's just say how much maybe families will need to bring along. Are we talking you have to spend a lot of money, or is it reasonable for all these types of people?
We are a really value for money destination. So of course, it depends on what you are looking for. You can stay at a 5-star hotel and go to Michelin star restaurants or fine dining restaurants, or you can stay in a 3-4 stars hotel or a hostel, sharing rooms, having some street food. So it really depends. But I would say that what best describes us, it's we are a really value for money destination.
I've recently done places in the Scandinavian countries in Europe, of course,
and they're not that expensive.
They are a lot more expensive than when you I've been to Lisbon before, and I remember it wasn't too bad. I mean, when you go to a place and just you describing those destinations, the places, and it sounds like it's value for money, and you're not going to be disappointed. To come to northern Porto or any part of northern Portugal.
Of course, there are more expensive experiences, but when you pay for something and what you get, you think and you feel that it was worth it, then I think that's what you get here in the north of Portugal. Yes, we have the only six senses in Portugal, and you know that six senses is an expensive hotel, but what you get there,
value for money, as you said there. Just one more other question before we sort of wrap it up today. So what would you now say to people listening in when they book their holidays for 2024 or going forward or whenever? What would you say one thing that when they do come across to northern Portugal or Porto that they will leave and think to themselves, right, I'm going to be coming back here?
I think that it will sound a cliche, but I would say that we have a beautiful destination, beautiful places, monuments, but the people, I would say that's the most, our biggest treasure, because people here are really friendly, very kind, they will help you. People saying that this is really nice, because when you go to a bus, with locals, because everyone used the bus, you see the driver talking to that person, just talking because they know each other, and then you can join them and talk with them as well. So everyone will welcome you here. It doesn't matter where are you from, so what's your beliefs. And I would say that's the and of course the food and the wine is great. The weather is also really nice. We are really happy people. So I would say that.
And so for people who are looking to travel to northern Portugal, what are your information that they can visit you and get in contact with you to discuss these and get things organized?
We have some websites with live chat, which is really easy to just enter and my colleagues can answer. And then I can also leave my email if they want to contact me directly. So.
Well, Katia, well, thank you so much for coming on and discussing with us the beauty of northern Portugal. We look forward, well, I'm sure you'll be looking forward to welcoming new guests going forward. And let's hope that the seasons going forward will be fantastic for you. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That's it for Take a Wander with Shebs. Don't forget to leave a comment and like this episode. And you can follow me on all of my social media platforms under the handle Shebs the Wanderer. Until next time, bye for now.